Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
9plusUS presents the Baseball Together podcast with your hosts, Blackjack Brad and Kansas City Little Big Briggy Blue Eyes. And now, Baseball Together.
Welcome back, baseball family, to another episode of the Baseball Together podcast. I am Brig. As always, I'm here with Brad. Say hi, Brad.
Hi. That's right. That's right. We're here. Ready to go. Ready to go.
We're ready to go. It is currently Monday night, September 14th, 2020. I don't know if you've seen the memes about us being on the home stretch of 2020, but it's very perilous still. The drawbridge that we have to walk, or the bridge we have to walk across, rather, is looking precarious. But that's fine. We still have baseball, and that's a terrific reality. Mm-hmm. Today we're going to talk about a whole bunch of current event stuff. We're going to start maybe teasing some playoff conversations. And then, because of these current events, we are going to talk about unwritten rules of baseball. Okay. Mm-hmm. We have mentioned some of it in the past, and it's time that we just kind of dig a little deeper into this hole. And but anyway, we'll get into that a little bit later. That'll be the second and third segment of today's show. But first, Brad, we have got to take a trip to Wrigley and talk about Alec Mills' no-no.
Absolutely. Now, Brig, you're going to have to tell me more about this, because all I know is that he is not a guy who this would ever be expected from. I think he was undrafted. Is that right?
Undrafted, college walk-on.
Okay.
Let's see if I can get all my facts straight. He did. He was DFA'd by the Rays not long ago. He had Tommy John. He's recovering. He used to have Tommy John. How do you say that? He had
Tommy John.
What is happening?
Tommy John, anyway, is not something you possess.
You can't have it, and then you can't have had it. I don't know which tense I'm supposed to be in. The point is, he underwent Tommy John surgery, recovered from that, and then he just is a pick-me-up guy over in Chicago right now. And mm-hmm. everybody, you know, it's just the way it is. He's just filling a slot on the rotation. And the point is, though, he is now the 16th in Cubs history to record a no-no. The 16th in the entire franchise history. That's tremendous statistic right there.
Yeah.
And the another cool detail before we jump back into Alec is that Giolito in Southside Chicago is the other one to have done it this season.
Yep. Yeah. Chicago owns the no-nos this season.
I love that. I think it's awesome.
Yeah, it's kind of a crazy thing. Yeah. But you know, as you're going through about Alec Mills, the thing that, like, I know you say this all the time, but don't ever, like, this is for the kids. Don't ever let anybody tell you you're not good enough. Like,
oh man.
Like, don't let them ever say you're not big enough, you're not strong enough, you're not fast enough, because if you work hard enough, you'll get to where you want to be. And, you know, eventually, yes, eventually they'll say, okay, we can't anymore. But he got DFA'd. He got designated for assignment, cut by the Rays, and then the Cubs picked him up.
Yep.
Just, I feel like don't give up until you're ready to not work for it anymore. Just work hard. You'll get there. You'll get to where you want to be.
I like your point. Don't give up until you're ready to not work for it anymore. Mm-hmm. Because really, that's what it all comes down to. Are you going to work for this or not? Right?
Yeah.
Are you still willing to put forth the effort? Just mm-hmm. don't let anybody ever define your reality, your potential, your nothing. You do it. Take ownership.
Yeah,
so,
for sure.
Yes, Wilson will be getting these lessons. So will the Bear and everyone, you know, hopefully
most
everyone
definitely
teaching their kids that too, because I've lived that part of my life. You know, I've been in those situations, and
uh-huh.
it doesn't apply just to baseball, but
right. Absolutely.
There's your public service announcement unsolicited for the day.
The more you know.
Oh, geez. Let's talk about what we don't know. That's easier.
But anyways, so Brig, you watched this game. Is that right? Did you watch it start to finish?
No, I didn't watch it start to finish. I got the – see, and we're going to have to get into this because I got the alert on my phone.
Yeah.
And it said, you know, a no-hit bid halfway through, you know, six, it's like six innings or whatever.
Yeah.
In Chicago, and I was like, ooh. So when I get the notification, two things happen, one of which is I better start watching, and the second of which is, but if I didn't watch up until this point – and now I start watching, am I going to be the jinx? is that what is going to happen? And we're going to get into that more a little bit later. Yes, but I have this warring sort of emotional experience.
it's a real thing. It's a real thing.
It is. But I started watching the game in the eighth is when I turned it on.
Okay.
So I wouldn't be told what to do, I think, is what the other thing that happened. You should turn this on. Don't you tell me what. You're not my coal mine supervisor, MLB. You know, that's how I feel.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But so something else exciting happened on Sunday, though, not just the no-hitter. We had Albert Winnie the Pujols. He hit his 660th career home run to tie Willie Mays, the Say Hey Kid, for fifth all-time on the home run list. And if you ask me, that's quite an accomplishment for
all time.
Like, there's got to be crazy longevity and consistency to make it that high on the list. And for those guys who make it, I mean, bravo. Bravo to them. Congratulations to Albert Pujols. That is an accomplishment for sure.
Yeah. No, it's so funny because every time he does something tremendous, something else tremendous happens in the world. And this is just, again, co-located with the no-no in Chicago. But the thing about Albert Pujols is he seems like such a stand-up guy. You know, all those years in St. Louis, everybody was above reproach, really. I mean, I don't know. I just – you couldn't – you can't – I just – I love that this guy – is under no suspicion of anything. There's no questioning how he got there. It's solid everyday baseball, and he's been doing it forever and successful for forever. That's the best.
Well, and I think when he left St. Louis and got to Anaheim, I think there was a little suspicion because I remember seeing an article somewhere. I can't remember. It might have been ESPN. I'm not sure. It might be a little reckless to be ESPN. But anyway, it said, Albert Pujols is one of the greatest hitters of our generation, but I don't buy it.
Yeah.
Or he's done it clean. He's one of the greatest hitters of our generation. He's done it clean, but I don't buy it. Or something like that. You know, basically accusing him of using steroids. But his career arc has totally disproved that. It's proven that he is clean because he has the career arc of somebody who played just about every day and just tallied up injuries over time because your body breaks down.
Yeah.
You know, and he's not hitting home runs at the same pace that he would be if he was on steroids. So I think it's great that he's done it clean, done it the right way. And I mean, he's obviously got a spot in Cooperstown waiting for him. I just don't know if he's going to go in as a Cardinal or an Angel, probably a Cardinal because he had better his peak years there, but I mean, that's all it comes down to now.
So let's talk about that for a second. He was on Baseball Reference. He got to St. Louis in 2001 at his 21 season, played 161 games. Okay. Played the full season.
Yeah.
Then all the way through to 2011, he was playing 147 games in the 2011 season, also in St. Louis. That was his 31st birthday year. Now, he had no lagging plate appearances. His run production was pretty consistent between 99 is the lowest. The highest is 137 in that 10-year span. His hits are exactly consistent through that 10-year span. It's just exactly what you're saying. This career arc is just undeniable. So then he gets to Anaheim, 2012, plays 154 games. Whoops. Baseball Reference is interactive now. Did you know this? I didn't know this. I'm clicking stuff. I'm highlighting things, and it's now there are pop-ups, and the spreadsheet is orange, and I don't know what's happening. But look,
you gotta be careful on that website.
Apparently so. So let's say he goes the next 2 years, and we get a full 20 years out of him. Okay, he goes 2012, 154 games. To 2020, he's at 31 games in 2020, right? Now, obviously, that makes sense. But his lowest point games played in the last 8 years, 99 games, and his highest is obviously a full season at 159. So let's go back to at-bats again in the last 8 years, 607 at-bats in 2012. And then his lowest point was that same 2013 99-game season, where he had 391. But even in his lowest season, he's still at the plate 391 times.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's half of what a full season would be, but he, you know, he's playing a little over half a season, so that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, and that's kind of the thing that's always been with me, is that he has that lingering, like, kind of, I guess, lingering, more nagging foot issue that you see every time he goes to run out of an infield hit, or, you know, tries to. And he's played through it. He's played through it, and it's been a number of years. He's still been able to hit the ball for power, hit the ball for a pretty decent average over that time. So, I think he's been fantastic. It's been great to watch. Somebody in the American League West, I hate it because he still kills the Mariners, even at 4 years old. But
that's poopy pantsery is what that is.
Yes, it is.
We're literally discussing greatness, and Brad's over here like, Blackjack Brad at his finest. Let's see. Now that we've alienated all the Angels fans, let's move on and talk
Cardinals
about
fans.
And the Cardinals fans. No. We praised his work in St. Louis. It's fine.
Okay. Anyway,
you're just upset. It's fine. You just be angry. Yeah, now that you shaved your beard, is that why did you decide to come back a little angry?
I am a different person with no beard. There's a little peek for the people on YouTube. It's gone. It was really itchy. It was just getting too itchy, and so I just couldn't take it anymore. It was just one of those things, kind of like Marshall on How I Met Your Mother when he shaves the middle of his head. Shaved right down. It's like, well, can't turn back now, so.
Well, okay, so hold on. If we're going to draw a parallel to Marshmallow in How I Met Your Mother, then you snapped, and all the pressure got to you, and there may have, may not have been a wedding involved, and then a subsequent hat. Just saying.
Well, there's always a hat involved. Always a hat involved.
There's always a hat.
No wedding.
For sure.
I probably did snap.
And if there's not,
the
there should be, right?
Yeah. The itching did make me snap. I'll talk to that one.
Okay, so. That's fair. All right, let's move on. We're going to talk about the postseason, okay? The postseason is coming.
It's going to be here before you know it.
Ugh,
it's unreal.
So
I can't wait. It's going to be so much fun.
All right.
But the bubble situation.
We've got it all set up, right?
Yeah, it's all set to go. And I was looking at it, and it's kind of funny. They're going to lengths to ensure that nobody has home field. There is no team that will happen to be playing at their home field. Do you mind if I run through this real quick?
No, I'd love it.
So, other than the wild card rounds, the wild card like the home team or the higher seeds in the wild card round they're going to be all three games will be played at their parks. So, like the A's, they're going to play in Oakland for all three games of that series. If that's how far it goes, gosh, I don't know. We'll say the Yankees make it. They'll be on the road for all three games.
Hey. Okay.
if. Anyways. But then the NLDS will be played in Texas because there is no National League team in Texas. So you'll have games in Arlington at Globe Life Field.
Yep.
And also at Minute Maid Park is where they'll have those games. And then the ALDS.
Yep.
The ALDS will be played in L.A. at Chavez Ravine and in San Diego at Petco. They're not going to be playing. Yeah, they're not going to be playing ALDS games in Anaheim at Angel Stadium. And then you go to the LCS. You've got ALCS at Petco, NLCS at Globe Life, and then the World Series would be played at Globe Life, which I think is actually really funny that they're like, wow, we've got this nice brand new ballpark. The only way it's going to see any postseason is if we play the World Series there.
And they can't let us come, and it's just such a shame.
You know what, though? Actually, about an hour before we came on, I saw an article that said the MLB is hopeful to have fans in the LCS and the World Series.
What?
So it could be a Super Bowl situation where fans are traveling to a neutral site to watch the games.
I do that.
Yeah. I mean, when I saw that, I was really bummed that they weren't going to do anything in Phoenix. It's like, well, shoot.
Yeah.
If you really want a neutral site for the World Series, bring it to Phoenix.
What? Yeah. Yeah, but they just got that big new fancy stadium. You know that's why they're doing it.
It is. It's exactly why they're doing it. The Rangers aren't going to make the playoffs, so they're not worried about them, you know, getting home field in the World Series, which, you know, we found doesn't matter, but whatever. No, it's cool. It'll be cool. It'll be interesting to watch a neutral site World Series, and I'm curious if it ends up becoming a thing.
Yeah, because I can see it becoming a thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing that I actually agree with Scott Boras, is he's been pushing for this for years, and I think it would be really cool, get a bunch of fans to come for 7 games, and, you know, it's nice to have it, I'm sure, I don't know, but I'm sure it's nice to have it in your home city, but if it bounces around, eventually it will be, you know?
So. Yeah, but there's something very, very special, I would imagine. I don't know, I grew up in Utah, but I'm imagining there's something very special about having your team in your town.
Yeah.
I don't think that's deniable. I mean, it was so I do know it with the NBA and the finals with the Jazz in the 90s. Yeah. Like, that was pandemonium constantly, was a party forever.
Yeah.
So it is special. It is different. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think I disagree with that.
I feel like it has its pros and cons either way.
Brad.
It does.
No,
it does. Because home field does not matter in the World Series. You could play it at a neutral site, and you will still have the exact same outcome as you would if you were traveling back and forth.
The only time that's been true is this last season.
Home field has never mattered in the World Series. Back when they were doing it with the All-Star game, you know, the winner, it matters. So the winner of the World Series, winner of the All-Star game gets home field. It didn't matter then. It doesn't matter now. Home field does not matter in baseball.
Brad, this is me stuck firmly in the mud. Okay, so stop.
That's fine.
You're not going to convince me.
That's fine, because you're not going to convince me. Let's move on.
Okay.
I don't want to talk in circles for 20 minutes.
I don't either, and nobody wants to listen to that. So
yeah,
let's talk about the blowouts. And I think we better take a trip down to, Atlanta.
Well, there's that one, and we're going to get to these a little bit later. This is part of another one of the reasons why I want to talk unwritten rules. But just on Wednesday alone, there was like 5, and I said to Mel, I was like, gosh, there was more blowouts in MLB today than there was this afternoon at a daycare center. Like,
whoa!
It was unreal.
Solid dad joke, bro. Yeah.
It is a dad joke. Thank you.
Loved it.
But... no, and over, okay, since last Wednesday, there have been 71 games. 22 of them have ended in blowout fashion, which Baseball Reference defines as a run differential of 5 or more runs. That's a lot. It was, I did the math on it, 31%? I need to remind myself. Either way, it's around 30%. Almost a third of the games ended in blowouts.
Do they really define it as 5 or more?
31%. Yeah.
That seems like a really low threshold.
It kind of is now. I think based on older standards, it's not. But now now that we live in the home run age, it kind of is. But
it's low. I'd say 8 or better, personally.
I'd even go 6 or 7.
Yeah, I could settle with 7, but I think 8 makes just as much sense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 8 in one inning is a remarkable feat.
Yes, it is. But the reason that they do that is because they have their record splits, the way that they break it down. They have they have what's your record in one run games, what's your record in blowouts, then in parentheses it says 5+ runs. So
yeah, okay.
That's just the way they've established it, and I kind of use them as
as
the standard. So
well, that's because they are. So you know, they could pay us to say that. That'd be awesome. But they are the standard. I mean, they are. That's who we go to.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Okay. Last but not least, current events. Steve Cohen buys the Mets. It's conditional, still.
Right.
But he has an offer on the table. The league has to approve it. He's going to spend $2.4 billion with a capital B.
Yeah.
Yes. The big B.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And you know, I saw this and I was like, thank goodness it's over. And what it means is the owners have accepted it. It's up to the league. They have to get 23 out of the 30 owners to approve it. And when he does, he will own 97% of the Mets. So no A-Rod and J-Lo group buying the Mets. Thank goodness. We're going to have a team that can pay its players and settle its debts.
Is this where we blow raspberries? I feel like
we could. We definitely could blow raspberries.
Let's do it. Let's do it on three.
Two. Three.
I felt like that was the right thing to do. All right, baseball family, check it out. Now that we've lowered our standards all the way to toddler level, we we hope you enjoyed it. Please don't leave. But we're going to come back and we're going to jump into these unwritten rules. We're going to talk about what they are, what they mean, why you should care or not. Stay tuned.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out to the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I never get back with me. Root, root, root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. For it's 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out at the old ball game.
Shop kids' baseball shirts at 9plusS.com.
Welcome back, baseball family. So, we talked about blowouts, and we talked about no-hitters. Let's talk unwritten rules. There are some unwritten rules that are associated with each. And this is the thing that I think is funny, is the rules are unwritten for a reason. Okay, let me just get this out of the way to start with.
Wait. Are you on your soapbox?
I'm just going to say, just let me say it real quick.
Okay.
So anytime I hear of the unwritten rules of baseball, I think of Captain Barbossa from Pirates of the Caribbean. Only appropriate that I'm wearing my pirate baseball shirt tonight.
Yeah.
I think of when they say, stick to the code. Ah, the code be but guidelines.
That's right.
That's really what the unwritten rules are. It's guidelines to be playing with etiquette. I guess you could say playing politely. And having good sportsmanship.
Yes.
But that being said, all of those standards are also from the 19th century. Well, all of them. Most of them. Because that's where the unwritten rules come from.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It started at the beginning of the game, you know. Oh, we played gentlemanly. Yes. Put your bow tie tight and see. Yes. You know.
Oh, wow.
Like that's,
yeah.
That,
okay.
I always, when anytime I go into that voice, I channel my great grandpa, because anytime he'd try to teach us something, he'd be like this, see? Like, thanks, grandpa.
Well, he sounds like a terrific fella.
He was. He's a stand-up guy.
A real swell guy, you'd say.
Yeah, it's a real swell guy. Ah, yeah. So, but anyways, so Brig, that's where the unwritten rules come from, and that's why I feel like they've been challenged so much lately, because they've been in the game for over, you know, 150 years, whatever.
150 years, yeah, right.
You know, and a lot of them are out of date. And part of the unwritten rules are why MLB is fighting an uphill battle to bring in a younger demographic.
Right.
I mean, am I wrong there?
I don't think you're wrong. I don't think you're wrong, said the man.
Are you fighting curmudgeonry there?
Yes.
I knew it.
I even have my hands interlaced.
Feel
my fingers
it
interlaced.
Coming through my headphones as you're sitting there listening to me talk. Like just it was just like poking me right in my ear. Curmudgeonry.
I just am so excited to talk about this.
But so those are the things we're going to talk about. We just talked about where they came from. Let's talk about what are they? What are the unwritten rules? What are some of the unwritten rules?
All right.
So let's go ahead and get into some of these unwritten rules. Brig, you mentioned one earlier. Sorry,
yeah,
go ahead.
So, no, that's not what I was going to say. I was going to segue into that. So this weekend during Alec Mills' no-no, I had the opportunity to talk about what a no-no means to a friend of mine and kind of explain, you know, not just the technicalities of it, but the details, the nuances, if you will, right? And one of the things, so here's the situation. I'm watching the game. I have it on my phone. I'm holding it up, and I'm in my garage while my toddler plays in the street because that's what kind of parent I am. Just leave me alone. And we're in a cul-de-sac. Okay, leave me alone. But she's in the street, and we're running around, or she's running around. I'm sitting in my garage. And I'm watching the last three outs in the ninth inning, right? So out 25 occurs, and I yell very loud, and another neighbor comes out of his garage too, and he said, "Are you okay, Brig?" I said, "Yes, I'm doing great, actually." He says, "Everything? What's going on?" And I said, "Look, history is being made in Chicago right now, but we are not going to talk about it." And he said, he must have been able to hear the game audio because it was quite loud. And I said, because he kind of, you know, he walked over a little bit. And I said, and he said, "Well, what's happening in Chicago?" I said, "We are not going to talk about it, but it's very exciting." And then he muffled something. I don't know. It may or may not have sounded like no hitter. I don't know. Maybe. It was this jumbled mess of consonants and vowels. Just kind of, he turned. I couldn't. Mm-hmm. I wasn't actually paying attention. Who knows what he said? I'm not going to acknowledge it. But he said, he walked away and said, "Oh, okay." Turned around, and he gets it.
Yeah,
he gets it. So then I'm screaming, and everyone knows I'm fine, and we don't talk about it. So that's so one of the things that, in case you didn't know, one of the unwritten rules is that you do not talk about a no hitter. And this is something I alluded to earlier when I said I get the notification on my phone from MLB.com and it says there's a no-hit bid through six in Chicago or in Milwaukee right now for Cubs
Wrigley
pitcher
North,
Alec
like
Mills. And I'm like, what the freak, man? We're not supposed to talk about it. How did I just get a notification? You guys are MLB.com. Pull your head out.
So now here's my thing with not talking to a pitcher during a no-hitter. Like, I understand why. You don't want it to get it in his head, right? Because he starts pressing him, he probably won't make his pitches. I get it.
Right.
I get it. But my question to you is this more of an unwritten rule or is it more of a superstition?
Well, so it's interesting. We didn't get into the divergent mentalities because you're right. It originated as you do not talk to the pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
During a no hitter, but
yeah, like
it has morphed. It has morphed into not. Yeah, we now you don't talk about it.
Yeah,
nobody.
Yeah. And so I feel like in the dugout, it's an unwritten rule because it's like, dude, you don't say it. You don't want it floating in the ether because you don't want it to land in his ear.
That's right.
And I guess that's where it comes from with the fans, too, because you don't want there to be in the stadium, you don't want there to be kind of like a low mumble of no hitter.
No, of course.
Nobody's going to hit. You know, you don't want that flowing, like I said, through the ether because it might end up in his ear.
That's
but
how I feel.
Even like you sitting at home, you're not going to talk about it with your neighbors. Is that more of a superstition or does that fit in with the unwritten rules?
And this is what we talked about with my friend. This is 100% superstitious, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
And we are a desperately superstitious people, baseball people. We just are. I'm yes, not going to apologize true. For it. And I just won't.
In fact, I think that's a whole nother episode, superstition.
Yeah, oh, for sure. But you're right when it comes to drawing a line between the two. But I think, you know, the unwritten rule is that you don't talk about it in the dugout. You don't especially bring it up mm-hmm. to the pitcher. But
yeah,
it's become a fan rule.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I had a friend in high school through a perfect game.
And, wow.
And it was while I was injured. So I was keeping book, and I came to the realization it was like in the fifth inning or the beginning of the sixth that I was like, Sosh has a perfecto going. and I kind of looked at the guy next to me, and he goes, don't say a word.
It's yes. Like,
all right.
Yeah.
We got it. And he went on. He finished it. He finished the perfect game. He did it. And I'll tell you this. He's the one guy I caught in my entire life who had big league stuff at 15, and he ended up tearing his rotator cuff and couldn't pitch anymore.
Man.
But that's a whole different thing. But anyways, yeah. So I get it. I get, like, in the dugout, you don't say anything. You know, you don't even get it out there because you don't want the pitcher to get in his own head, because that can happen, especially with pitchers.
Well, and he's already there. That's the problem.
Yeah.
So if you read David Cone's autobiography, Full Count, you'll get a really good insight into what it's like to be a pitcher in a no-hitter and a perfect game scenario. And mm-hmm. the way he translates that experience and gives it to us is gold.
Mm-hmm.
It really is super, super well written.
There's a lot of stuff about that book that's well written, but especially that chapter about the perfect game was fantastic.
Well, the whole thing is framed in that. Yeah, he starts mm-hmm. starts the narrative, and then he works into it, and then he gets in. Oh, it's just terrific. But so yes, there are more rules surrounding a no hitter that we should talk about. One of them is you do not bunt to break up a no hitter. That's a violation of the unwritten rules.
Mm-hmm.
And
for me,
go ahead.
I was just going to say about the bunting. So I don't feel like if you're a guy who doesn't typically bunt, okay, I get it. Especially if the shift is on, because you know guys aren't, because you're not normally going to bunt to beat the shift anyway. So I don't think that guy should be doing that. Okay, it's kind of a cheap move, especially against the shift, like. To me, it's like, okay, that's pretty messed up. But a guy like, if you've got like D. Gordon or Brett Hamilton up to bat and everybody's playing straight up and you've got one or two outs in the ninth inning and you're about to get no hit, like those guys can absolutely lay down a bunt because that's something they would do normally.
Kyle Schwarber is one of the best in the business.
Which is strange to me.
It is. It is. I'm not arguing with you there. But I just want to add that keeping it in Chicago for today, that is absolutely true. Yeah.
Yeah, but no, I feel like that's the way that is. Like, not mm-hmm. not everybody. Like, if you want to lay down a bunt because that's what you do, that's fine. Go ahead and do it. But don't, like, beat the shift when the guy's got two outs into the ninth inning, because that's Bush League. That is to me. But
mm-hmm. I don't disagree with you, but that bristles. I bristle against the idea of being competitive. Right? Like, do what it takes to win.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, and that's my thing too.
Yeah,
is that like it might be Bush League, but at the same time, like you're and that's the thing too, is if it's a close game, if it's a 2-0 game and a no hitter,
that's where I draw the line. Yep.
Then go ahead, do what you got to do, because
if you're within two or three runs and you can start a rally on a beating the shift mm-hmm. bunt up the left field or up the the left field line, friggin' run it out, man. Drop a bunt, lay it down,
get a double.
You get a double out of it. Yeah, you don't know. That's exactly how I feel. If you're within two or three runs, I don't care how many outs the other team has. I don't care who the pitcher is. It could be a no-no. Doesn't matter to me. Like, be competitive.
And part of throwing a no-no is getting the tough outs. It's not just the pitcher. It's the defense.
Right. That's right. It's
getting
the
tough outs.
That's what my friend and I talked about this weekend, was we were talking about how these are tremendous team efforts. I mean, especially a perfect game, but a no-no as well. It is a huge, huge team effort, and the pitcher can't do it alone. I think that So King Felix is the last one to record a perfect game. It was in 2012. And I think he did so on the back of what, like 9 strikeouts or something like that?
Yeah.
Or 10?
Yeah, he struck out because he was striking guys out all the time back then. It was it was absurd. But
it wasn't and 27 strikeouts. That's what I'm saying.
No,
like we're talking he got just under about a third of the strikeouts or of the outs were at the plate. The rest of them were in the field.
Yes. And that's to your point exactly right, that it takes everybody to be perfect, takes everybody to get a no-hitter, you know.
That's why it's so special.
Yeah.
Now, Brad, we've talked about this before, and we'll move on after this, but what do you think about combined no-nos? Are you as excited about them or not?
No, not at all.
Me neither.
The Mariners threw one several years ago, and I was just kind of like, okay, that's fine.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Throw a complete game if you're going to get a no-no. All right. Mm-hmm. Now, all right. Do you swing on a 3-0 count? 3 balls, no strikes. Your team is way ahead. Do you swing on a 3-0 count?
Yes.
This is an unwritten rule that you don't.
It is.
That's the rule states that you don't.
Oh, that's true. Right. The rule states that you don't. But do you, in my opinion? Yes. And we talked about this a little bit with Fernando Tatis last week.
Yes.
He hit a grand slam to go up by 10. You know, you're already up 6, which, like we said, in today's Major League Baseball is not a huge lead.
6
it's
is
big,
not.
But it's not insurmountable.
It's not insurmountable.
It's not huge.
Yeah.
So,
yes.
Not only did he swing on a 3-0 pitch up 6, he swung on a 3-0 pitch with the bases loaded. And I'm kind of like, that's fine. Like, if you're a major league pitcher, make a competitive pitch and get an out.
Right.
You know, if you want to try to get him to chase something, that's fine. But don't just groove something 3-0. I think that's an absolutely absurd rule that guys should be able to swing on any count whenever. Because we played in a state tournament in high school where we blew everybody out. I think we ended up, like, our final margin in, like, 5 games was, like, 85 to, like, 6.
Wow.
And, jeez. Yeah, it was insane. And our coach came and he told us, he's like, guys, don't swing until you have a strike. Because we were hitting everything, you know. And I don't feel like that's an okay thing. I mean, at that level, yeah, because you got to show some more sportsmanship because kids have feelings. But at the major league level,
they don't.
I don't care about your feelings. Your bank account is your feelings, and you can go home and you can cry on $100 bills. So,
wow. Ruthless Blackjack Brad.
Maybe it is the beard. I don't know. But, no, I don't feel like at the major league level, you're a professional. Play professionally. Get an out. I don't care what the count is. I don't care what the score is. You've got to get 27 outs to get out of the game, and nobody should be going easy on you because you're a grown man.
Yep. I absolutely agree with that, actually.
So,
I'm going to skip the looking at a home run one. I feel like we beat that to a pulp. We talk about that all the time. The rule is that you don't stand in the box and wait for your home run to clear the fence. That's the idea. I agree. Don't do it. You want to play baseball like a baby back, you know what, then you can stand in the box. And then you get thrown a baseball at your head, and we're going to talk about that later, but the next rule, let's talk about this. Do not steal bases if your team is ahead by a significant amount. Think of all the squishy language in that one.
And that's what you talk about, being competitive. Yes. Be competitive from start to finish. You don't go out there and say, oh, we're up 6, I'm not going to run. I mean, especially with nowadays when guys have enough incentives built into their contracts. I mean, I watched the Mariners a couple weeks ago. They were still in bases up, up 4 runs in the top of the 9th inning.
Yeah.
And then they ended up losing in a walk-off because the Padres came back and scored 7 runs.
Of course they did.
In one inning. So, play to win the game, in the words of Herm Edwards.
Right. Until it's
if
over.
If that means stealing bases, if that means stealing bases, go steal bases.
Right. Swinging a 3-0 pitch, what do you care?
Yeah. Exactly.
You don't care about their kids. Right? Like, come on. You're there to win baseball games.
Yeah. That's right. You don't care about their kids.
Yeah. Now, all right. Last one, and then we'll take a break.
Okay.
If the pitcher gives up back-to-back homers, 2 batters come up, both of them launch them out, they dropping bombs on this dude. are you allowed to swing at the first pitch of the next at bat, that third, the subsequent batter? Now, the unwritten rule is that you are not allowed to do that.
Right.
How do you feel about this, Brad?
It's the same thing with 3-0. Don't go in there and just groove a pitch because you don't think the guy's going to swing. Go out there and make competitive pitches.
Yep.
And especially if you're out there grooving pitches, at what point do you just, like, at what point are you giving up as a pitcher?
Well, and what are you allowing to influence your decision to give up?
Mm-hmm.
See, because to me, this is all about the mental game. This is all about who's tough, who's not, who can hang, who can't. This is resilience in the moment. Mm-hmm. This is all kinds of things. And really, if I'm letting you throw the first pitch for a grooved strike, right down the pipe, no juice, no nothing. It's like, come on, man. I'm going to drill mm-hmm. that, right?
Oh, definitely. Because I'm not doing you any favors. How many of those in your life are you even going to get? Hitting is hard enough as it is.
Yeah.
Don't let the good pitches go by. And I don't feel like you can in any situation, especially if the two guys in front of you hit home runs, go up there and hit a home run on the first pitch. Who cares?
Yep.
Because I actually is.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Okay. Jinx, you owe me a candy bar.
The last thing I want to say about this, if I have a pitcher who is not mentally strong enough, like you said, to work through giving up back-to-back home runs. In the words of my high school baseball coach, he's not that damn good anyway. I don't need him.
Yep, so that's very good.
That's my opinion on that.
All right, baseball family, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get into more of these, and we have more to say, and I'll bet you didn't see that coming.
No matter which ballpark you're at, you want to rep your team. Now you can with 9+ Us. Welcome to the Big City Series. With every design available in your team's colors, you can fit in with the home crowd or stand out on the road. Either way, we have the colors you crave. Shop the Big City Series and find designs that rep your favorite baseball podcast, cheer from the cheap seats, and much more. Shop the Big City Series only at 9plusus.com.
All right, baseball family, welcome back. We're going to talk more unwritten rules of the game. Obviously, we don't have time to get into every one of them, so we're going to cherry pick a couple of these mm-hmm. and move through them that way. Some of them are ridiculous, as we, I think, have clearly stated, mm-hmm. but perhaps we should take some time and talk about some that are less ridiculous. Brad, what do you think?
Well, This mm-hmm. one that I kind of get this one, but at the same time, it is a little bit ridiculous. A pitcher who's removed from the game in the middle of an inning must stay in the dugout until the end of the inning. It's like,
yeah, that's a good example.
Yeah, like you're in. It shows that you're in with the team, right?
Okay.
But yeah. I can also see you've been out in the dugout or out in the bullpen for a while. You might have to go to the bathroom. I mean, we had an incident this weekend, right? So. Like, if you got to go, you got to go. That's cool. But come back. Hang out with the team. Doesn't matter if you just got rocked for 7-8 runs, whatever. Go sit in the dugout. Eat some seeds.
Yeah.
Drink some Gatorade. And then when it's mm-hmm. over.
Pull a prank on somebody. Yeah.
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 That's right. Put some bubble gum on a hat. Whatever. Just, yeah, you perfect. Can unwind in the dugout. You don't have to go unwind in the clubhououse.
Yeah.
There's plenty well,
and you should unwind with your
me.
People.
Yes. You
yeah.
Really should.
Yeah. So what about a pitcher not indicating that they are displeased or at all discouraged by the play or lack thereof of one of their fielders?
Okay, so the way I look at this is an error. Should not indicate
right.
displeasure with an error. Because errors
right,
happen.
That is the
errors
official
happen.
Rule.
To me, like, if an error happens, like, It's just the nature of the game. You've got uneven ground. Sometimes you got even a pebble. You know, like we saw a ball hit off third base the other day, and the Marlins third baseman made a great play on it. You know, granted, right. that wouldn't have been an error, but just like, you know, just you pick each other up in baseball. You don't put each other down. It's a hard enough game as it is that if something like that happens, you shouldn't be like, golly, you know, don't make any faces, nothing. You can make faces on a bad hop. Because
yeah,
that's out of their control. You know,
sure.
Just like, man, you know,
like,
but
dang,
but yeah. don't don't get down on guys. Defense is hard enough to play as it is. Don't make it any harder, because if they get in their own head, same thing with pitching. If fielders get in their own head, we saw with Chuck Knobloch, a great second baseman, couldn't throw the ball to first base anymore.
Yeah, no, it's true.
So,
all right, so let's swing all the way over to the other side. Let's talk about stuff that I think makes a little bit more sense. How about not rubbing the part of your body that was hit by a pitch?
Okay, tell me about that.
So, I mean, this just comes down to machismo, honestly, and toughness.
That's really what it is. And my thing is, like, it hurts. Rub it, man.
You think so? See, no, yeah, I'm like, no, you can't have the satisfaction.
Yeah, no, it hurts. Like, rub it. I don't care. Make it feel better. Like, if you need a little bit of ice, man, do it. Like, you need that magic spray? Yeah, do what you got to do. It hurts to get hit with
the baseball. No, man. No, I totally disagree with you. Okay, there's nothing more exciting than watching a dude get drilled in the small of the back and him turning around cold as ice and staring that pitcher in the face, and not one iota of pain is on his face. There's nothing better.
I'll give you this.
We're talking 100,000 people between the attended fans and the people on TV go, oh, and then he just turns slow and cold. There is nothing better than that.
Okay, let me give you this. I will say this. Out of anywhere on my body, I would much rather get hit in the back, because I'm not going to rub it because I can't reach it. But second, like, it's easiest to take a ball in the back. Okay, like, yeah, okay. Don't rub the back. But you get hit in the butt or the leg.
Yeah, like,
yeah,
right.
Give it a little bit of rub, you know? Rub that
pain off a little
bit. No, I disagree. And especially you get hit in the hand or the wrist.
That's different. The hand is different.
Okay.
Sure.
There are certain
places
that
hurt
way worse than others.
Yeah,
and
of course.
And I think you have license to rub that. But the back, stare him down, go walk down to first base, and then go steal second on him.
Exactly. And I'm the same way with anywhere where there's a bunch of meat. I'm talking you get hit in the butt, you get hit in the thigh.
Mm-hmm.
Look, it's going to hurt like crazy.
Yeah. I
mean, we all know that. But it is your job to look unaffected. That is an unwritten rule I firmly believe in.
And I just always thought it was funny, because I remember getting hit. Don't rub it. I'm going to rub it. It hurts. You go ahead and rub it too. I don't care.
Well, you can rub it when you get to first base, fool. Like,
well, that's when you rub it. You take your base like a man, and then you go rub it when you get to first base.
That's what I say. That's what I say. And it's all machismo, and it's all BS, and it's all bad for you. But it's still an unwritten rule, and I think it's one that makes perfect sense. You are representing the team. You are representing yourself, and you're not allowed to look like a baby back you-know-what at the box. You have got to stand there and deliver a cold, searing gaze back to the dude who may or may not have intentionally thrown that ball at you. And if they did intentionally throw it, let's get into the next unwritten rule. Are you well within your rights or not to start chirping on your way to first base, maybe throw something or charge? What do you think of that?
Okay, so if somebody throws at you intentionally, do not touch that spot where they hit you. Absolutely not. Okay, like, I'm with
absolutely
you on that.
Absolutely
not.
Do not. Unless it's in the face.
You strut down to first base, maybe swell up and flex on him a little bit, and call him a couple names and tell him you bring that all day because it doesn't even hurt. Nice change
that's
up,
right.
Sucka. Like, that's...
You
that's,
peacock.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that. Absolutely. Definitely.
Yep.
Yeah, you peacock all the way down and tell him nice change up, nice curveball, whatever, when you know they brought the heat, because nothing pitchers hate more than that.
That's right. Exactly so. Right. You telling me my 95 mile an hour looked like a changeup?
Yeah.
Well, now they're in their head. See, that's where this. Yep. See, the cool thing about a lot of these unwritten rules, some of them are complete BS.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are like, let's be nice to each other. And I'm like, come on, man, stop.
Yeah.
Like, this is a ruthless cutthroat game, right? Mm-hmm. And if you don't perform, the other guy will, and you'll get DFA'd.
Exactly.
So, yep. It is you have to perform, period, end of story. But some of these rules are about reputation and team morale and all this other stuff that goes into the subtext, the nuances of the game, that I think are undeniable, that you can't if we ever get away from them, we're going to be in trouble.
And see, I feel like some of them can be challenged. We can get away with some of them. Like, I've talked, I mean, like you said, we've talked endlessly about watching a home run. Fine. It's
sure.
I feel like it adds entertainment value. Go for it. Absolutely. Yeah.
Right. But and I just want to punch you in the face.
I know. But luckily for me.
Not you. Oh, I mean, okay. I'm talking about the guy in the box. I want to take Yasiel Puig and hit him with my keyboard. That's all.
That's true.
Like, lick your That's bat. True. How does it taste? How does the V key taste? I'm going to smack him. That's all.
But some of the things that we've seen this year, we talked about, you know, we talked about the game placing itself. We had some issues with the Astros, both pitching and hitting. We had, you know, we talked about #FreeJoeKelly and, you know, him throwing behind Bregman and Correa and chirping at him a little bit. But then you had some Astros throwing at Ramon Laureano. Is that who that was?
Yeah, I think that is who it was.
Yeah, and they threw at him. And, you know, he was barking a little bit, chirping a little bit at those guys, and then there ended up being a little bit of a scuffle. Not much more than that. I wouldn't even say a brouhaha dust up.
It didn't go to fisticuffs.
No, it did not.
Wasn't a Donnybrook in the infield, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. But so I ask you, Brig, which one of those was more on the right? Was Kelly more on the right throwing at the Astros? I mean, I guess this is a dumb question because we know why Kelly did it. The reason the Astros were throwing at Laureano was because he's hitting home runs. Is it okay to throw at a guy if he roughs you up for four home runs in a three game series? Like,
no.
Do you feel like that's okay?
No.
And I don't either.
Be better. Goes,
yeah, exactly. Be better. Be mentally tougher and throw better pitches. And it goes back to that not swinging at the first pitch after the pitcher just giving up back to back.
Right.
Like, that's on the pitcher.
Now, hold on. The value has changed, though, because 30 years ago, this was 35 even, this was way different. You crushed it even one time against Nolan Ryan, and he was going to put you right back in your diaper.
Same thing with Bob Gibson.
Bob Gibson's a great example.
If you hit a home run off of him, you knew you were getting hit or thrown at the next time you got up there.
One time. You get one time, and then he is going to put the pants back on in that relationship, and he is going to make sure that you are crying for mama.
Yeah,
now,
exactly. And
now I will tell you that level of ruthless policing itself, sort of Wild West baseball, I love it. I am drawn in some misplaced or some misguided, ill-placed, macho, sort of just gritty, like, I don't know, old school, like toxic masculinity or something, but it strokes that part of me that I can't get very often.
And see, for me, what it is, it's pouting. It's
of course it is. That's why it's toxic masculinity.
Striking out is just as much as part of the game as hitting a home run.
Agreed.
There's no reason you should be thrown at a guy because he succeeded against you. He's going to fail against you 9 out of 10 times he sees you, especially if your name is Nolan Ryan or Bob Gibson. Let him succeed against you one time. He's not going to do it again.
Yeah, but listen.
He doesn't have you figured out. Nobody has you figured out.
Right, but nobody has them figured out because they will throw at your face.
And that's
part of the dynamic. Now listen, here's the problem. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm just saying that it does add a dynamic you can't get anywhere else. It is a hunter-gatherer sort of hyper-vigilant, I'm in charge mentality that we are losing in baseball. Is it right that we're getting away from that? Absolutely it is. But we have to acknowledge the past as the past. We have to put those values and those systems in place because that's what it was. And back then, not only was it wildly acceptable, but it was also completely the norm.
Right. And back then, I mean, it's like what people talk about the NBA now. They're like, oh, guys who played in the 80s, I love the 80s because it was like, you know, clotheslining guys and hard fouls. You couldn't get to the hoop. And now just you can't touch anybody. You know, and it's like, okay, but those are the rules then. These are the rules now. Basketball
is actually far
more entertaining, and the ratings are better now than they were then. With baseball, you risk losing your stars. I mean, think about how much Mike Trout would have gotten thrown at.
A ton.
And not just because of launch angle. He's not hitting home runs like these other guys do. He has a natural home run swing, and he is incredibly strong. He's going to hit a lot of home runs, whether it's the launch angle era or it's the 70s when guys are going to throw at him. He'd be getting thrown at every other game.
He would. I agree with you. I'm just saying that that was a dynamic of the game back then that we don't have mm-hmm. today.
Right. Yeah, and I still just can't comprehend it. I don't understand it.
I do understand it. I'm not advocating for it. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying I get it. It's not hard for me in my mind to say Nolan Ryan feels like he is on top of the world on that 18 inches of mound. Okay.
Right.
And he feels like he is absolutely not only in charge in the moment, present minded, but entitled to being in charge. At where his role is to dictate not only the pace, but also the execution of play. And he is going to do everything in his power to single-handedly affect the outcome of the game. Now, if he throws on you, and let's say something doesn't break and it hangs, which happened occasionally, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. some guy goes yard on him, then he will do everything in his power to make sure that he is back in the driver's seat dictating the game, because he genuinely feels he is entitled to managing the entire pace of play. He feels okay. like not only is he entitled to it, but it is his sole duty and responsibility. And that's part of that mentality is what made him so effective and why every time we talk about the greatest pitchers of all time, he's at the top of the list.
Okay, now I got one for you.
Okay.
So last Wednesday, this is what started this whole string of blowouts.
Yes.
We had the Braves and the Marlins. The Braves beat the Marlins 29-9. We had in the bottom of the seventh inning, the Braves were up 25-9.
Yes, they were.
Lowered the bases, and then you've got Adam Duvall gets up and hits a grand slam to put the Braves up 29-9. Do you throw, or do you find it acceptable to throw the next pitch at Ozzie Albies?
No.
Okay, because that's what would have happened before. Ozzie Albies would have taken it to the dome.
No, I don't think it would have.
I do. Up 25-9, and the dude hits a home run with the bases loaded. Gets a grand slam. Ozzie Albies would have been down and out.
No, he wouldn't have. No. He would have been down and out the next time they came to play each other. The next time they saw each other...
No, Duvall would have been down and out the next time they played each other.
That's exactly right.
But no, I think the very next pitch would have been headed at, no pun intended, Albie's head.
I like what you did there. No, I think it and it depends on whether there was a pitching change between those two instances.
I don't think it depends on a pitching change either. I think no matter who's throwing the ball, if they bring a new pitcher in, the reliever, they're handing the ball and it's like, you know what you need to do. Yep, I do. He's down.
Yeah.
And you know, and the same pitcher, I think he's like, well, that sucked. Boom. You know.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, look, so Nolan Ryan, okay, he's a terrible example. Let's say somebody else gives up that many runs back then.
Okay.
Okay, somebody who's way less capable. And because Nolan Ryan would never have done that. But let's say they give up that many runs. They are packing it in and waiting for the next appearance, the next opportunity to face this team. They are not going to execute retribution then. And if they do, it will be seen as petty and disingenuous and whatever else. That's disingenuous, the wrong word. But you know what I mean? Like it will be seen as petty and small. But the next time they saw each other, everybody's on the docket. Everybody. And they know that they're going to run through ejections like crazy. And everybody's okay with it.
Do you think Acuña is up to get plunked the next time then?
Everybody.
Because
35 years ago, 40 years ago, everybody.
I mean, that's the way it would work, is especially the leadoff guy. Especially a leadoff guy like Acuña.
Yeah,
you'd much rather
sure.
hit him than have him swing his bat.
Oh, so, for sure. So take your base, like, but send a message at the same time. That's how it all was, old school. Yeah.
Yeah. But no, I feel like Albies is on his back, though, the very next batter. That's how I feel like it would have worked.
Okay.
And
35, 40 years ago, maybe so.
Yeah.
But I don't think so with that many runs on the board. I think they're packing it in and planning their revenge for later.
Okay. All right. Well. Let us know what you think, baseball family. What do you think about the unwritten rules? Do you think there's some that are outrageous? Do you think a lot of them make sense? are there something borderline on just superstition? I mean, let us know. Let us know if you think Ozzie Albies would have been on his back following the Adam Duvall home run. I don't know.
I don't know either. But check it out, baseball family. If you want to learn more about baseball's unwritten rules, I've got this book here called The Baseball Codes. It was written by, let's see, Jason Turbo and Michael Duca. It's a terrific read. It's kind of dense, I'll be completely honest with you, but it does get into the details. It does give you play-by-play scenarios to help kind of set up the situation so you understand what happens. And if you can read it in Vin Scully's voice in your mind, you'll probably be a lot better off. So that's what I did. I could hear, especially during the play-by-play announcing, that they try to break down in there. It gets a little lost in the sauce unless you're listening to Vin Scully in your brain. So,
you know, maybe he should be doing that as like a retirement job, reading audiobooks. Because he could read the phone book and it would be entertaining.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. He'd make you feel like you were sitting right there.
Let's reach out and pitch the idea to him.
That's all a good idea. I love it.
Anyway.
Baseball family, don't forget to jump on the shop, 9plusus.com. That's NINEPLUSUS.com. Like I said last week, we got some new stuff coming for cold weather fans. We know it's getting in the 50s in Chicago right now. In Philadelphia, it's getting a little bit cold as well. Other places, I know in Buffalo, it's getting a little bit cold now that the Blue Jays have come in from the Great White North. So we are planning some releases coming up very soon. We're very excited about them. Don't forget to jump on there, grab yourself something nice, and we'd love to see it from you.
For sure. Send us a message. Send us a message on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Join the Facebook group. 9 Plus Us VIPs, send us a request. We'll let you join. And you can also send us a message in the mailbag. There's a link to the mailbag in the doobly-doo of every episode on every podcast provider and also on YouTube. So send us your questions, comments, concerns, snide remarks, anything you want to hear us talk about, and we will give you a shout-out on the show. But baseball family, it was a lot of fun this week, and we will catch you next week.